This morning, we're continuing the new series that we just started called On Guard. And last week, we talked about why we need to be on guard. We named the reality of our opposition, that there is opposition. We acknowledge that there is an enemy, and he is at work. And we were reminded that as followers of Jesus, we stand firm through humility and trust in the sustaining grace of God. This morning, I want to ask a different question. Not why do we have to be on guard, but where does Scripture tell us to place that guard? Where do we put it? What is, in fact, are we guarding? Because the reality of it is, and I talk to many of you, and the reality is that many of us are exhausted. And it's not because we don't love God. It's not because we aren't trying to be faithful. But it's because something inside of us feels like there's constant tension. Like we're always on. We're living in a world that is shaped by constant stimulation. There's stimulation from our smartphones. Now, there's smartphones that are connected to our watches, and so we're getting constant stimulation. It never ends. There's notifications. They not only do they come to your smartphone or your device, but they're dinging on your wrist. There's social media. Algorithm-driven systems that are designed to capture our attention and keep us engaged. And so we are. We're always on. There's a level of tension that's always there. And over time, that kind of environment trains us to stay alert, to be reactive and mentally engaged all the time. But it's not leaving us any space to rest. It's not giving us any space to recover. And when the heart is never allowed to rest, it just doesn't stay neutral. It stays tense. And this isn't just a feeling. Over the past decade, anxiety and depression rates have soared across every age group, children, teens, young adults, parents, older adults, so much so that it is no longer a crisis that is outside of the church and just in the world, but it has come into the church as well. I had on my board for about a month, I had on my whiteboard in my office, I had this, why are we such an anxious generation? Why are we such an anxious people? And we're going to be getting to that answer over these next few weeks. But I want you to listen to these words from Proverbs 4. And notice how much of this passage is not about attentiveness, about where our focus goes, what we take in, and what we allow to shape us. And I want you to, as we read Proverbs chapter 4, 20 to 27. I want you to stand with me again as we read God's word this morning. Please stand. Listen to these words. My son. That word son here, the original language actually is speaking to all of us. It's speaking to mankind. Men and women, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, there's a key verse here. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Thank you for standing. That's a reading of God's word. I want you to listen to the weight of verse 23 again. He says, above all else, guard your heart, because everything else, everything flows out of that one place. And when Scripture tells us above all else, it's not exaggerating. It's telling us that if this isn't stable, if this drifts at all, everything else that flows from it will eventually follow. So before we talk about guarding strategies, before we talk about pressures or distractions or transformation, we need to understand something foundational. What does the Bible mean when it talks about the heart? Because Proverbs assumes that if we misunderstand the heart, we have absolutely no idea how to guard it. Because the heart is the core of who we are. The heart is the unseen control center that determines visible outcomes. The heart, let's say that again. The heart is the unseen control center that determines the visible outcomes. We were created to live from the inside out, ordered around trust in God. And when Scripture talks about the heart, it's not talking primarily about our emotions. It's not talking about this thing that pumps blood in our bodies. It's talking about the source from which all of life flows. And that's why Jesus says in Luke 6:45, for the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. And here, the word overflow really matters. Jesus is saying, the heart fills over time. What you put into it fills up at some point. And everything that overflows is what you put into it. What spills out reveals what you've been storing in it. And here's where many of us struggle. Without realizing it, we begin to treat our hearts like a storage unit. We just start packing stuff in there. We store responsibilities, the pressures of life, fear, unresolved worry, and in a world of constant input, that storage fills fast. And it's no wonder that people are feeling so overwhelmed, so anxious, because we are bombarded with things. Being overwhelmed itself isn't usually a sign of weak faith. It's a sign of misplaced weight. It's a result of misplaced priorities. The heart was never meant to carry everything. It was meant to settle our trust. That's why Scripture doesn't say, strengthen your heart. It says, guard your heart. Because the heart is vulnerable. And because access shapes influence. When the heart is overloaded, everything downstream feels unstable. But when the heart is guarded and rightly directed, life regains that clarity. Even under opposition, even under pressure. So if the heart is the core of who you are, the question Proverbs presses is this: what is shaping your heart? What are you filling it with? What are you allowing into it? Because what you fill it with is what will come out of it. The heart is shaped by what you allow in. And Proverbs is really practical here. it doesn't begin with big moral failures. It begins with daily attentiveness. Look at these words in verse 20 and 21 again. Pay attention. Turn your ear. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Proverbs assumes something that we often forget, that whatever consistently captures your attention will eventually shape your heart. Your heart is shaped by what you listen to repeatedly. If you are listening to the same voices, the same voice, and I'm not just talking about podcasts, I'm talking about the voices, the things that you hear, if they're constantly being shaped by world systems and worldly things, what will flow out of it? How will all of your ethics be formed and shaped? They will be shaped by what you repeatedly hear. Your heart is shaped by what you look at consistently. What are you drawn to? What is the thing that grabs your attention that you're constantly looking to? You repeatedly dwell on it. What are you allowing to linger in any of these areas unchallenged? That's why Scripture places such emphasis on being on guard. Not because God wants to be controlling, but because he knows how formation works. He knows how easily we are shaped, what it looks like. And you have to know this, the heart doesn't stay neutral. It's always being shaped by something. The heart does not stay neutral. The heart is always being shaped by something. That's why Proverbs in verse 25 and 26 say, let your eyes look straight ahead. Don't be distracted. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths that you're walking on for your feet. And be steadfast. Be steadfast in all your ways. In other ways, direction follows our attention. And today, nothing captures our attention more consistently than our smartphones. Our smartphones, social media, what is all at our fingertips? Social media platforms, news feeds, streaming services are algorithm-driven content. These are not neutral tools. They're designed, they're specifically designed to capture your attention. Why do you think that you get the same thing repeated over and over and over again when you have looked at something and you've browsed it? They're designed to capture your attention, shape what you desire. They keep us engaged. And so we're always on. We're being overwhelmed with information. We have no downtime. And that's not a positive thing. Over the past decade, anxiety and depression have skyrocketed. It's because of the constant bombardment of information. And it's often good information. We're listening to podcasts of speakers, different speakers, different pastors. We're listening to music. We're reading memes, and they can be good. But we just have absolutely no place for our brain to rest. So therefore, it is full already. It's full. You add one thing, we're overwhelmed. We're anxious. Because this has taken control. And when the things that we take in go unfiltered, they have complete unfiltered access to our hearts, they shape us. And often with us, without us even being aware of what's happening, it is so incredibly subtle. Beware of your adversary, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. They shape how we love others, how we view marriage, how we treat people that think differently than us, who have different views, have different opinions. And that's why guarding the heart, that's why guarding your heart matters. Guarding the heart doesn't mean eliminating technology altogether. It does mean being completely aware and controlling the access. I think we all understand this instinctively. When it comes to physical security, we lock our doors at night. Some of us have issues, so we lock them three or four times, or at least we go check them three or four times to make sure they're locked, right?
That's you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. My children are not allowed in the service from here on in. We lock our doors, we use passwords, we protect our technology, we install alarm systems in our homes, in our cars, and cameras. Not because we're afraid, but because what is inside is valuable. We have valuable, I lock my doors because I want to keep my family safe. They are valuable. Even if your kids are lippy, they're still valuable. That's why we do it. We don't want our vehicles or the sound systems in them to get stolen. Yet, with all that protection, many of us, without thinking, have given access 24 hours a day through the internet, through smartphones, unrestricted access to our hearts, our homes, and our children's lives, the ones that we're protecting. And we rarely stop and ask, is this shaping my heart towards trust or anxiety, faith or fear, clarity or confusion? Because whatever you consistently allow in will eventually come out. And it comes out in our words. It comes out in our reactions, our responses. It comes out in our posture. It comes out in how we treat people, how we do business with people. It comes out in our posture, how we love people. I do want to say a word to you parents and grandparents, because I know this feels heavy. As I've been reading some books, and we're going to talk more about this digital, whole digital thing and the results of it in a few weeks, a couple weeks maybe. We'll start talking about the results of it. And as I began to look at this, there's a real piece of regret. And so I want to say this word to you because this is heavy. Most of us here did not choose this digital world for our kids that we inherited. You and I are parenting in a generation, in a time that no generation before has ever faced, where devices are designed to capture adult attention. They were designed to capture adult attention as well. And now we're placing in them in the hands of kids, teenagers. But this isn't about blame or shame. And it's definitely not about getting everything right. But it is about awareness and support. When I went through this, I started reading some of the statistics. Some of the ways that it has impacted, these things have impacted people and the lives of people from non-Christians. I felt like a failure in how I have allowed this to come into our home, into my life. And so if you feel like you are failing, Don't look at it as failure because it is extremely, extremely complicated. And guarding the heart, your heart, and your children's hearts was never ever meant to be done alone. It's meant to be done in community, right? In community with wisdom from each other. What works for you? What works for you? With prayer. And of course, with grace. So if this stirs concern and you don't, please don't hear condemnation. Let's view it as an invitation to stop and just look around. Let's ask better questions. Put thoughtful boundaries in place. And not as punishment, but as protection. Let's teach better methods of this incredible piece of machinery. We spend a lot of time training our kids to drive these heavy, big automobiles on roads that are flying down at each other at 120 kilometers an hour. And yet, how much time do we spend training our children to use these heavy things that are shaping all of our lives? Boundaries were not to be barriers for love. They're expressions of our love. And that's why guarding the heart is not passive. It's not something that we can say we did once and sit back and just breeze through it. It's being on guard. It's choosing what gets access. Choosing what gets repeated. What are the words that you're hearing when maybe you're at the gym and you're listening to some music? What is getting repeated into your head? Or at home? Or in your car? What gets repeated? And choose what gets the final say. What is determining your ethics, your morals? Guarding the heart isn't just about resisting bad things. It's about intentionally receiving the right things. Notice Proverbs doesn't say empty your heart. It says fill it and fill it wisely. Choose what you're putting into it. Proverbs is clear. If you want a life that is steady, even under opposition, because what? We will face opposition. How many times is that repeated? I have no idea, but I know it's repeated several times. You will face tribulation. You will face trials. You will face opposition. And so if you want a life that is steady in that, you must be intentional about what is shaping the heart, the very control center of how you live life. In light of that, the heart is the core of who you are. The heart is shaped by what you allow in. And if both of those are true, Proverbs presses one final question. What kind of a life flows from a heart that is guarded and rightly directed? What's the positive? What is the positive outcome? Because the guarding heart is never the end goal. Just simply guarding our hearts is, that's not the end goal. The goal of life is that it becomes steady under pressure, under opposition, clear and aligned, even under all of the things that we go through. And so that leads us to the third point. A guarded heart leads to a steady life. Proverbs doesn't leave the command to guard the heart abstract. It shows fruit. There is fruit of the guarded heart. When we take time, when we guard what goes in, there's fruit that comes out of it. It's not simply to suck the joy and life out of you. And that's often how we think. I would imagine that there's probably some people here, and I'm not just even thinking that there's teens here. Is that these things actually aren't that bad. I can see whatever I see, and it doesn't affect me. It doesn't impact me. You're wrong. I know it does. Oh, I hear all that stuff, and it doesn't impact me. Yes, it does. And how do you know it? by the fruit that comes out of it. And so when you put good things in, the fruit that comes out of it is good. Listen to the language of verses 25 to 27 again. Let your hearts look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn from the right or the left, to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. When the heart is guarded, when you're not allowing all of this garbage in, when things happen, when challenges happen, you've been prepared for those challenges. You don't immediately feel overwhelmed. Life begins to move with clarity, not become easy. It's not the absence of pressure or opposition, but it is steadiness, not being derailed. A guarded heart doesn't eliminate challenges, but it does stabilize our direction in those challenges. A guarded heart produces clear vision instead of constant distraction. Intentional steps instead of reactive movement. Stability instead of drift. And this is especially important in a distracted world like we live in. Because when the heart is guarded, when the heart is unguarded, life becomes reactive. Because our hearts are full. And we add one thing and boom, it all falls apart. I get it. We say things that we didn't want to say. We begin to move in directions that we didn't even choose. And we move slowly. We drift slowly rather than deciding intentionally, choosing. But when the heart is guarded, when trust is rightly placed, our lives begin to align again. The eyes focus, the steps steady, the path straightens. And it's not because everything around us is calm, because it won't be. It will never be calm all the time. But because we are anchored in the one who is in control of all things. Guarding the heart is an act of trust. So let's come back to where Proverbs began. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it everything flows. Friends, guarding your heart isn't about controlling your life or sucking the joy out of it. It's about entrusting your life. Placing the weighty things of life where they belong. You and I, we were never meant to carry everything that life is throwing at us. And that's why guarding your heart is not withdrawal from the world. But rather it's discernment. It's deciding what gets access to you, what gets to influence you. What are the repeated voices that you hear? And what is it that you allow to have the final word over you? Guarding your heart begins with surrender, with placing your heart under the care of the God from whom all of life flows. And here's why this matters. So many of us are trying to live our lives with unguarded hearts. We react faster than we reflect. We carry more than we were designed to hold, and we slowly confuse spiritual faithfulness with spiritual exhaustion. Guarding your heart isn't about trying harder. It's about trusting deeper, recognizing that your heart was never meant to carry everything, Your mind was never meant to solve every problem, and your strength was never meant to sustain everything. God never asked it to. He asked you to guard the place where trust is formed and your life flows out of. So I want to talk to each one of you today. Children, teens, parents, young adults, older adults, be on guard for what you are allowing into your life, into your heart. I want you to do one thing this week, each one of us. I want you to monitor how much time a device, any device, is in your hand this week. I will confess that I got very upset over Christmas because I kept opening it up and endlessly scrolling, looking at Facebook. Oh, it's marketplace, it's fine, because I can look at things that I never buy anyways. But I constantly, I'd set it down, and without even thinking, I have it in my hand again, and so I deleted it because it was making me angry that I kept looking at some useless thing. The next day, Pat and I were talking, and I had told her, I said, I deleted Facebook because this is just not going well. And 5 minutes after, I picked up my phone, and I'm looking, where's Facebook? It's a problem. It's a problem. It really is. And so I want you, as well as myself, to monitor how much am I picking up my device? What am I letting in? Who is speaking into my life? Pay attention to what is shaping your heart before you even realize what's happening. And you're picking it up again, looking at something else. The other thing is, I want when you're going through a struggle, when anxiety rises, where is that weight of your life landing? Where's it landing? Are you anxious? Are you becoming anxious and overwhelmed? And what are you carrying in your life that God never asked you to carry in the first place? What worries have become normal? Then we just say, oh, that's normal. Should it be? Be anxious for a few things is what the Bible teaches, right? Wrong. Be anxious for nothing. Where has responsibility slowly turned into control? Because whatever is shaping your heart is shaping your life. We're going to continue, and we'll get more real into some of the data, some of the results of how smartphones, social media, is impacting our generation and generations to come. It's astonishing the impact it is having on us as a people. So guard your heart, and your eyes will become focused. Let's pray. I just want to remind you again that there is a prayer team up at the front. If you need prayer this morning, please come and ask one of these two people to pray for you. Let's pray. Father God, as we have looked at Scripture today, I pray that your word would, and through your Spirit, you would help us to understand the importance of guarding our hearts. Not out of fear, but because we want to live as faithful followers of Jesus. We want to trust you for all of the things that we're holding on to. God, we pray that you would shape us from the inside out, and that we would be shaped from the truth of your word. Inform us into people who live steady lives in a very distracted world. And above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. May the Lord God fill your heart with his truth May he quiet your anxious thoughts and steady your steps and keep your path straight, even in a distracted world. And as you go now, I pray that you would have attentive and anchored hearts, and that you would rest in the care of the God who flows, of who life flows from. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you.